Good morning. It's wonderful to be here today. I was telling Blake when we were out there is, man, I feel like we're getting old. Really do. Yeah, I feel like we're getting old. I was thinking this past couple weeks ago, Colton just turned 13. I have a teenager now, which is crazy. Wade just had a birthday too. Wade is 14. But I was looking at Birdie this morning, and I feel like just time is just moving by so quick. And I was thinking when I was putting this lesson together. Excuse me. I was thinking when I was putting this lesson together about some of the songs that we sing, and some of the emotions that come from the songs that we sing. So I know that I lead the song "Nearer My God to Thee." That one connects with Angela a lot. And I was thinking about just life in general, and I may be getting off on a tangent at the very beginning, so bear with me. But obviously, it's no secret that today's lesson is going to be nearer. And I was thinking about, okay, well, you know, nearer. I'm wanting to be nearer to God, and it got me to think about "Nearer My God to Thee," and it got me to thinking about the song "Nearer Still Near." I remember, and I may be wrong, but I remember hearing my grandpa say that was his favorite song. And I remember when, it's been years, but I remember singing at my other grandfather's funeral, "Nearer Still Near." And it draws these emotions out of me. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to sing "Nearer Still Near." So song number 144, if you don't mind, we'll see if I can make it through it. So we're going to sing. You don't have to stand, but I just want to sing because I want us to pay attention to the words that it says, okay? So "Nearer Still Near," song 144.
"Nearer still nearer, close to thy heart, draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, oh fold me, close to thy breast, shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Grant me the cleansing.
Bear with me a moment. So like I said, for some reason that song stirs something up. And I think it stirs something up in all of us from a certain sense. I was looking out and into the audience, and I think it invokes a response. And I hope to point out today why that is. I want to begin with a question this morning. And I don't want just a quick knee-jerk reaction or answer to it. I want an honest one. Are you close to God right now? I'm not asking, do you believe in God? I'm not asking, did you grow up to the church? Obviously, you're all here this morning. I'm not asking, hey, do you know Scripture word by word, verse by verse? I'm not even asking, were you once faithful? But right now, my question is, are you near to God? Because it's entirely possible to be sitting in these chairs, no longer pews, but it's entirely possible to be sitting in these chairs in this church building while being spiritually distant from God. Jesus said in Matthew, the 15th chapter, verse 8, it says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." So think about that. People can sing songs about God. They can pray to God. They can talk about God while their hearts are just nowhere near. And if we are honest, I think at any point in our lives, one of us has felt that way before. We have battled that. We know what it's like to just go through the motions, to show up physically while spiritually we feel cold, distracted, exhausted, and distant. And maybe somebody here this morning feels exactly like that. You're here, but your heart feels far away. Like I said before, isn't it weird the way that songs invoke a response to us? There's reasons that the song that we sing, like "Nearer My God to Thee" and "Nearer Still Nearer," have affected people and Christians in general for generations. Well, songs have been sung at hospital beds, at funerals, during moments of heartbreak, during seasons of repentance. During times when people have felt broken and desperate. Nearer my God to thee, if you remember. Super famous movie. The Titanic was going down. And they had a band that was playing that knew that they were going down. And they played by violins and stringed instruments "Nearer My God to Thee." I didn't think I was going to have this much trouble with it, so I apologize. So the question is, why? Why do you think that this affects people so much? And I think it's because deep down, every faithful heart understands one thing. that nothing in this world is more valuable than being close to God. Money can't replace that. Success cannot replace that. Entertainment can't replace that. And even other people can't replace that. There's something inside our soul that longs for nearness to our Creator. Psalm the 42nd chapter, verse 1 says, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God." We sang that this morning, so thank you, Tim. And those songs resonate because they express a cry that the heart realizes that, Lord, more than anything, I need you. And if we're honest this morning, some of us remember times when we felt much nearer to God than we do right now. There was a time when prayer felt alive, that worship felt really meaningful. And I'm not saying that it doesn't this morning, but I know that I've gone through this, and hopefully, you know, I hope that if someone's going through this, that they can connect with it. Worship felt meaningful. Excuse me. Scripture deeply moved our hearts. But somewhere along the way, that distance crept in. And that is why this subject matter matters so much, because there's nothing more dangerous than being comfortable being far away from God. Listen carefully to this promise in James the 4th chapter, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That verse is comforting, but it's also a little confronting, right? Comforting because we know that nearness to God is possible. Confronting because it means if we are far away, someone moved. So this morning, let's talk honestly about why distance happens, how drifting begins, what sin does to the heart, and how we can come home to God. I heard a good story once. There was a husband and a wife driving down the road together. They were in an old single cab truck. And as they were driving, the wife was reminiscing about when they were younger, and she was just thinking of how inseparable they used to be when they were younger. And she looked over at her husband, and she said, "You know, we don't sit as close as we used to." She remembers when she used to sit in the middle seat of that single cab truck. But she wasn't just talking about how they drove in the truck. There had been a time when they sat shoulder to shoulder, close, connected, attentive. But now there was distance. She was wondering, you know, why don't we sit as close as we used to? The husband simply looked over and said, "I haven't moved." God has not moved, brethren. Let us begin with this truth. God has not taken a single step away from you. Malachi, the 3rd chapter, verse 6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." James 1:17 says, "For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." God does not drift. God does not fade. God does not lose interest in you. God does not become less faithful. And that little statement that he said to his wife said everything. Because the problem was not that he had shifted away. The distance happened because somebody moved. And spiritually, that is exactly what God is saying this morning. I haven't moved. God has not abandoned you. God has not become distant. God has not stopped loving you. If there is a distance between you and God, he's not the one that created it. Have you ever driven somewhere familiar? It happens to me all the time. Have you ever been driving somewhere familiar and suddenly realized, I don't even remember the last several minutes? Your hands were on the wheel, but your mind was elsewhere. Spiritually, I believe that we do the same thing. We sing while thinking about work. We pray while planning tomorrow. We sit through worship while our minds are consumed with everything except for our Father. And then we wonder, why don't I feel close to him? But listen carefully. You cannot be close to someone you consistently ignore. Would you agree? Distance from God is never accidental. It's always a result of neglected devotion. Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 1 says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Notice that word drift. Not sprint. Not suddenly rebel, but drift. Very few people wake up in the morning and say, you know what, today I think I'm just going to end my relationship with God. No. It happens quietly. So slowly. One compromise at a time. Proverbs, the fourth chapter, verse 23 says, keep your hearts with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Why? Because your heart is always moving, toward God or away from Him. You never stay spiritually neutral. Imagine sitting in a boat on a calm river. You decide, I'm going to kick back and just relax. I'm not going to row. So there's no resistance. There's no effort. At first, it really seems like there's nothing that's even happening, but the current is still moving. And eventually, you look up and realize you're somewhere that you never intended to be. That is spiritual drifting. Prayer becomes shorter. Bible study becomes occasional. Worship becomes routine. Conviction becomes weaker. You replace prayer with scrolling. You replace scripture with entertainment. You know every sports statistic, every political argument, every social media controversy, but you struggle to remember what God said in His Word, and then wonder why you feel spiritually weak. And drifting feels comfortable at first, and that's why it's dangerous. Revelation, the third chapter, verses 16 and 17 says, I know your works, you are neither cold nor hot. Because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Use that for my last lesson about being lukewarm. Most people don't become cold overnight. They become comfortable at first. And that's the most dangerous place that you can be. Is not far from God, but being comfortable. Is being far from God and comfortable. So let me ask you something honestly. When was the last time you truly prayed from your heart? Ask yourself that. When was the last time that Scripture genuinely convicted you? When was the last time that sin broke your heart? Would your private life support your public faith? Because you can learn how to look faithful publicly while being spiritually empty privately. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5 described people as having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Looking spiritual is not the same as being near to God. Now think about Samson. Samson didn't lose his strength all in one moment. Long before his hair was cut, his heart had already drifted. Compromise after compromise, sin after sin, excuse after excuse, he kept getting closer and closer to danger, thinking he was still strong enough to handle it. And eventually, Judges, the 16th chapter, verse 20 says, but he did not know that the Lord had left him. And that may be one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Because he looked strong outwardly, still looked like Samson. But spiritually, God was no longer with him. And the frightening thing is, he didn't even realize it at first. That is what drifting does. It blinds you to your own condition. You do not wake up one day far away from God. You drift there. One neglected prayer, one compromise, one excuse, one sinful choice at a time. Sin separates and hardens our hearts. Isaiah, the 59th chapter, verse 2 says, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Sin separates, but also hardens. Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verse 13 says, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin lies to you. Sin says it's not that serious. You can stop later. Nobody knows. Well, everybody struggles. Sin always minimizes itself, but sin never stays small. Sin builds a wall, brick by brick. Imagine a man building a wall in his backyard. The first day he lays one brick, it's no big deal. Then he adds another. Not a big deal, it's two bricks. Then another, than another. And eventually what used to be open becomes blocked. What used to be visible can no longer be seen. And one day he steps back and realizes, I didn't just build a wall, but I built a barrier. That's exactly what sin does. One habit, one compromise, one sinful relationship, one lie, one attitude, one grudge that you refuse to release. And we say it's just one brick, but eventually you're standing behind a wall. And here's the terrifying part. At first you feel conviction. At first you know it's wrong. At first it bothers you. But if you keep building, your conscience gets quieter. Your heart gets harder, and eventually what was once convicted doesn't even bother you anymore. And then one day you ask yourself, why does God feel so far away from me? But the truth is, he didn't move. There's just something in between. In Psalms the 66th chapter, verse 18, it says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Notice the word cherished. Not just committed, cherished, protected, held on to, refused to surrender. David understood what sin does to the heart. That is why after he sinned, he cried out in Psalm the 51st chapter, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Because sin does not just stain behavior, it damages our heart. And some people here this morning are exhausted spiritually. Not because God abandoned them, but because they are trying to stay close enough to God to feel safe while staying close enough to the world to feel comfortable. And that tension will tear your soul apart. Drawing near requires intentional commitment. James says, draw near to God. That requires action on our part. Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 13 says, you will seek me and find me. And you will seek me with all your heart. Not casually, not halfway, but fully. Psalm 1, verse 2 says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Luke, the 9th chapter, verse 23 says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Daily. Every close relationship requires effort. Time, communication, attention. Without those, distance grows. Some people want closeness with God without commitment to God. How's that work? That is like wanting to be physically fit while eating donuts on your couch every night. Trust me, I've tried it. It doesn't work. You cannot starve yourself spiritually all week and expect 1 hour on Sunday to fix everything. Nearness to God is intentional. You will never drift closer to God by accident. So how do you draw near to God, really? Because closeness with God is not just built through feelings alone. It is built through pursuit. Scripture gives us a very clear picture of what pursuit looks like. We grow closer to God through his word. Psalm, the 119th Psalm, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You cannot grow close to someone you never listen to. Think about marriage. Imagine a husband saying, I want our relationship to be strong, but then he never talks to his wife. Never listens. Never spends any meaningful time with her. Are those the hallmarks of a good relationship? No. That relationship will suffer. And sometimes Christians do the exact same thing spiritually. We say we want to feel close to God, but our Bibles remain closed the entire week. We know every breaking headline, but struggle to remember what God said yesterday. God speaks through his word. And you can't ignore him and expect to be close to him. We can grow closer through prayer, actual prayer. Remember earlier I asked, when's the last time you actually prayed? Luke, the 5th chapter, verse 16 says about Jesus, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Think about that. If the Son of God needed regular time alone in prayer, do you think we do too? So when's the last time you actually prayed? Not because you had to or because it was expected. Not because there was dinner sitting in front of your plate, or dinner sitting in front of you, but because you genuinely just wanted to talk to God. There's a difference. A little boy was once asked, "What is prayer?" And he answered, "Prayer's talking to my best friend." It's simple but powerful. Because prayer is not just a religious exercise. Prayer is a relationship. Prayer is dependence. Prayer is drawing near. We grow closer to the Lord through faithful worship and fellowship. Hebrews the 10th chapter, verse 25 says, "Not neglecting to meet together." God never designed Christianity to thrive in isolation. Think about a campfire. A single coal burning inside a fire glows brightly. But if you pull that coal away by itself, that coal starts to fade. The heat weakens. Fellowship with brethren strengthens our faith. And that's why worship matters so much. But the question is, are you present when you're here? Are you understanding that we're growing close to God? That we're helping one another do the same thing? Or are we just going through the motions? There was an elderly Christian man who was once asked, "How have you remained faithful to God all these years?" His answer was simple. "Every day I try and take one step closer to God." I like that answer because closeness with God is not usually built in dramatic moments. It is built over ordinary daily choices that I'm choosing to seek God every day. One prayer, one chapter, one surrendered sin. Always trying to get closer to God. Nearness brings strength. Psalm 73 verse 28 says, but for me it is good to be near to God. Ephesians the 2nd chapter verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Think about that. Far off, now brought near. Psalm the 46th chapter verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Present, close, available. Let me give you a picture. Imagine a child sitting in the middle of a super violent storm. You had any big storms in Bakersfield recently, Blake? No. I remember when the Thomas fires were going on. I looked over 1 minute, and I could see the glow behind two trees. I don't know if you guys know what two trees is, but I could see the glow behind it. And a couple minutes later, I walked back outside, and I'd seen that the fire had gone all the way up over two trees and had houses, pretty much. Houses were on fire. And as that was happening, they were evacuating much of the area. And I remember at one point the lights just cut off. All the power went out and everything like that. And Connor was little. I remember Connor being so little. Man, that kid squealed like a pig. He was so scared. He started crying, and he ran up to me and just like grabbed me and just held on so tightly to me. Thunder is so again. Imagine a child in the middle of a violent storm. Thunder is shaking the house. Lightning is flashing across the sky. Rain is beating against the windows, and that child's terrified. And in that moment, the child does not need an explanation about storms. The child just needs closeness. So the father picks up that child and holds on to them close. Now, I want you to notice this, that the storm outside has not stopped. The thunder is still crashing. The lightning is still flashing. But everything feels different because of who is holding them. The fear changes when someone stronger is near. And that's what happens when you're near to God. The storm may still rage all around you. The cancer may still be there. The grief may still hurt. The financial struggle may still exist. But when you are near to God, your strength changes. Your peace changes. Your perspective changes. Psalm the 42nd chapter, verse 1. I've read it already, but I'm going to read it again. It says, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God." Do we long for God like that? Or have we become satisfied with shallow religion instead of true nearness to the Father? Think about that verse for a moment. As a deer in a drought is not casually interested in water. It's desperate for it. The deer is not thinking, well, maybe if I have some time, maybe I'll go to the stream, try and find a stream and drink a little bit. The deer knows what it needs in order to survive. And that is maybe one of the most important questions that we can ask ourselves this morning. Do we seek God like survival or convenience? Do we pursue him because we deeply hunger for him, or only when life becomes difficult? Because genuine nearness begins when God stops being an occasional option and becomes our deepest need. Are you near to God, or have you drifted? Because you don't have to stay where you are. There may be someone here this morning who has never obeyed the gospel. God has already done everything necessary to bring you near through his Son, Jesus Christ. In Romans 10, we read that faith comes by hearing. Jesus said in John 8 that you must believe. Luke 13 tells us that we must repent, have a true change of heart, that he's not going to be an option. It's going to be something that I have to have. Acts 2 tells us to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ in order to receive forgiveness of sins. Once you take those steps, that's the moment that you go from far to near. But there may be others here who were once close to God, but now there's distance. Think about the prodigal son. He did not leave home hating his father. He just wanted some distance. And the farther he went, the worse things became. Until finally he sat in a pig pen, wondering, how did I get here? And maybe somebody here this morning understands exactly what that feels like. I know I do. You never intended to become this distant. But slowly, quietly, you drifted. But the beautiful part of that story is not the leaving. It's the return. Because when that son came home, the father, overjoyed, ran to meet him. And that is the heart of our Father. Maybe someone here this morning feels like Samson. You still look strong outwardly. Still showing up, still smiling, still going through the motions. But inwardly, you know that something's wrong. As long as you have breath in your body, you can still come home. Please hear me carefully. If you walk out of this building far from God, there is no promise that you will ever have another opportunity. James says your life is like a vapor. One heartbeat, one accident, one moment, and eternity begins. So why wait? Why stay distant when you can be near? Why carry sin when you can be forgiven? Don't drift anymore. Come near to God right now. If you need to obey the gospel, come. Don't wait. If you need to come back, come. Don't wait. If you need prayers, come. Don't wait. But come now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.